From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, Senators Chuck Grassley and Orrin Hatch are asking the Obama administration to call out China over its agricultural trade practices. The government of Argentina has charged Cargill and Bunge with avoiding tax obligations to that South American nation. And a new study suggests food production across the planet is not on pace to meet the projected demand of the world's population in the year 2050. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll catch up with meteorologist Mike Tenora of T-Storm. He'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
On this Thursday afternoon, futures finished like this in Chicago. December contract in the soft red winter wheat down two at $7.75. March at $7.36¾, a penny and a half lower. The May up a quarter at $7.52. July $7.56¼, up 5¾. December hard red from Kansas City 2½ cents lower at $7.40½. December corn futures 5.67¼ down two. The March at 5.78½ down a penny and three quarters. May at 5.83½ down 1¾, and July 5.84¼, 2 cents lower. Next year's December contract, $5.19½ from the corn pit, it managed to gain a penny and a quarter for the afternoon. November beans at $11.88½, up 12. January 11.99, up 12. The March at 12.07¼, up 11¾, and the May at 12.08¾, up 11½ cents. July $12.13, 11½ higher. December oats at 376, down 4 cents. October meal at 325.50, up 30. October bean oil at 47.35, up 13. They both retired from the board this afternoon. Crude oil futures at $82.42 a barrel, down 59 cents at this hour. Mercantile exchange numbers: October live cattle $96.75, 27½ lower. October feeders at 108.10, they're 2½ cents higher. And the October lean hog futures today, $73 even, finished down 40 cents for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois from Illinois Public Media. Now here's what the outside markets look like for the hour. We updated the crude oil. It's now down 60 cents at $82.41 a barrel. Ethanol at $2.20¼, a penny higher for the day. Natural gas at $3.65¾, down 4¾. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.27⅞, down 2½. And the gold futures now at $1,376.70. That's a settlement price down, or rather up, $7.20. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,047, just about 49 points lower. And the dollar at 76.64 is down 0.42 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area today, sunny skies, a high near 68. West winds between 11 and 13. They'll gust all the way to 17 this afternoon. Mostly clear skies this evening, a low of 42. West winds between 8 and 13 miles an hour. Gusting to 16. And Friday, sunny skies, a high of 63 degrees. North-northwest winds between 10 and 14 miles an hour. Gusting up to 17. Friday night, clear, a low of 38 degrees. North-northwest winds between 4 and 7. And Saturday should be sunny, a high near 71. South-southwest winds between 3 and 11. Saturday night, clear for the weekend evening, 45 degrees. Sunday, it'd be mostly sunny, the high of 74. And Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 48. We get into the next extended forecast. Monday, it'll be partly sunny, a high near 70. Monday night, a chance of showers, a low of 45. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, a high of 64 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 40. And when we get to Wednesday, should be sunny with a high of 63 degrees. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group from Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Let's take a look at what happened and what's been happening in the marketplace at this hour as we follow the marketplace. It's been really pretty interesting, Dan. Can you tell me how you viewed the last week of trade?
Well, I think basically since Friday's crop report, we've had our major surge to the upside there on Friday, and then we had strong follow-through activity there on Sunday night and Monday's trade. So you've had two big days up, and now basically over the past 3 days, what we're trying to do, I think, is just kind of consolidate, rethink the advance that the marketplace has put on the table, and just taking a breather, and then we'll decide whether or not we kind of need to go the next leg on up, or if the market would maybe settle down here for a correction.
Do you have a technical driver as to which place it might head?
Well, the chart looks to me still awfully friendly. When you look at December 10 corn chart, actually we got a 2-year island on the weekly chart. This gap that we left here on Monday equals or as that same level as a gap that we left on the way down from the 08 high. So you kind of got a 2-year island of price action on the weekly chart. So I think that in itself is a little supportive and suggesting that all the shorts that are caught down underneath that island will eventually have to buy their way out of the market, and that should maybe give us some strength to move on up to some of these higher levels. The other thing is December corn was in a nice little channel that we had basically going since late June. We now have jumped out of that channel to the upside, and a lot of times when markets do that, you can kind of double that channel. So when you look at the larger channel, then it kind of says that the next resistance point on this channel, if the market continues to move higher, is up into this 640, 650 area.
Okay, so I want to go back and take a look at this island. So the island is kind of a bottom, right, if
yes.
I'm looking at it correctly. And so that gap, and it's not the gap you're talking about was in August, like the week of August 25th of 2008. Is that I think I'm catching that correct?
Yeah, it's late September. There was a gap left between 627 and 625. It probably had something to do with the financial crisis at that time when we kind of went through the big gap down when the stock market started collapsing and all of the J.P. Morgan and all that, Lehman Brothers and all that kind of stuff going on. So, but there was a chart gap left on the pit trade at 627 to 625. And then you can see the gap that we left here on the pit trade here is between basically 28 and 39.
Okay.
424, I think. Actually, 428 to 539.
I suppose that it matters some where those gaps are, but the important part is that they're both there, and they separate that period of trading from the rest of it, so it's kind of an axis, what you're calling an island or an island bottom.
Yes, a 2-year island bottom on a weekly chart.
How strong might that kind of thing be?
It could be quite strong. I mean, you could probably read some pretty big numbers out of it. I'm not necessarily ready to go public with those kind of numbers, but I'm sure some newsletter people could be talking about some pretty big numbers. Potential, anyway, when you look at it from a technical perspective.
And then Do you see something similar or of a similar ilk in the soybeans, or will they separate out from the corn in the coming months? We had awfully good buys this week from China.
Well, right. I mean, the export demand for soybeans is tremendous. You're going to see a big number, I suspect, tomorrow morning on the weekly export sales report on beans. I think you're going to see a real decent number on corn. Of course, we had 800,000 sold to Mexico, so that is going to make up most of that big number. But there should be a pretty big number on the corn number. Also, but beans, what's going to happen in beans is the South American crop is we're getting in the ground 3 to 4 weeks later than normal, and that is going to extend the export selling window for the U.S. commodities, and that's going to probably have a big plus in selling more beans than what we normally would have. So, from a fundamental point of view, the beans look awful strong, even though we do hear, you know, pretty good yields. But USDA said the yields ain't quite that good. Now, I can talk to a lot of people out in Iowa, and the yields are just not there. You get out that Farm Progress Show area, Boone, Iowa, up in that Ames, Iowa, Webster County, you just don't hear the yields that you heard down here on beans. But chart-wise on beans, we kind of done the same thing. We were in a nice little up channel from late June. We now are trading above that uptrending channel, and if you double that channel, then you can begin to kind of maybe open up the doors for a move up into this $12.90, $13 area on November beans.
Got a timing on it?
No, not really. my guess is it's coming sooner than later. If we're going to go to those levels, I think it's likely to come in here over the next 30 to 60 days or so.
Are you worried about the U.S. dollar at all?
Yes. I mean, the dollar is basically in free fall. Of course, that is our policy, is to trash the dollar. Now, if you look at today's weakness, we are right down against a big uptrend line. Basically, if you draw off of the 08 lows of 70.70 and 71.31, and then the low that we had here last November, around 74.17, we are down against that trend line. So chartists will probably look for that trend line here to at least offer some initial support. If it doesn't and the market then begins to break underneath that trend line, well, then you'll see a quick test of last year's low there, about 74.17. And I think you would kind of put the green flag down for then a solid test of those 08 lows. But for now, we're down against the downtrend line or uptrend line. And then if you look at some of your weekly oscillators and momentum indicators, they are at the point of being oversold. So there is reason to think that maybe the dollar could stabilize here a little bit. To my understanding, everybody's just kind of gearing up for Bernanke's speech, and then they kind of want to see what the Fed does in their meeting here coming up fairly soon.
Anything on the policy you want to talk about? So do you think the Fed ought to put more money into the assets? Do you think we ought to let the dollar continue to walk a bit lower? And what happens if OPEC decides they want a basket of currencies as opposed to pegging the price of crude oil to the dollar?
Well, it's probably all out of my league on that, those
okay.
questions. You could probably argue this animal both ways. I think the weakness of the dollar, though, does put a lot of fear of inflation into the marketplace, and I think you can kind of see the wholesale numbers here today. Food and energy prices are up sharply, and I think you could just look at commodities when you start talking about demonetizing the debt or devaluing your currency, you're going to raise all hard asset values sharply higher, and I'm not convinced that that's good for the economy, higher food prices and higher energy prices when you've got an unemployment rate of 10% and then 10% underemployed, everybody's going to be spending their money on food and gasoline, and there's nothing left over to drive the economy.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on a Thursday afternoon.
In agricultural news, Senate Finance Committee Ranking Member Chuck Grassley and panel member Orrin Hatch are calling on the Obama administration to take action against what they say are China's discriminatory duties on U.S. poultry products. In letters to U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, the two senators urge the administration to seek high-level consultations with the Chinese government to ask for withdrawal of the anti-dumping and countervailing duties on U.S. poultry. Effective September 27th, China began imposing anti-dumping duties of between 50.3% and 105.4% on imports of U.S. chicken products. Cargill has become the second major U.S. agribusiness to be charged by Argentina with avoiding taxes there. Allegations that Cargill evaded $14 million in Argentine income taxes between 2000 and 2003 follow by just a few days similar charges that Bunge avoided $300 million in taxes over a three-year period. A new study by the Global Harvest Initiative says that globally, agricultural production increases are not keeping up with population growth and higher global incomes that will stress the world's food supply. The report concludes ag production is not growing fast enough to meet the doubling of production that it will take to feed the world by 2050. To close the gap without additional land and resources, the rate of productivity growth must increase an average of 25% more per year over the next 40 years. French analyst Strategy Grains today cut its forecast for this year's European Union corn crop for the fifth month in a row. The analyst now sees the 27-member EU's crop production at 55.6 million tons, 400,000 tons less than forecast last month and down 3% on the 2009 crop. The U.S. Energy Information Administration slightly raised its estimate for domestic natural gas production in 2010. U.S. natural gas production is expected to rise 2.2% to 61.29 billion cubic feet per day this year. Production was forecast off 1.5% in 2011. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring locally grown and organic foods as well as homemade healthy deli meals. More information is available at 352-3347 or at the co-op.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, fall. Crisp, clear mornings and autumn colors and apples. Just how many varieties can be found in East Central Illinois? Lisa Brautz discovers more than you think in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
Earlier this spring, my neighbor Sam helped me plant two apple trees right up next to our garage. Though our backyard is pretty large, we don't have much room for trees thanks to all the garden beds. So we decided that espaliering the trees, pruning and training the branches to grow along wires against the garage, would be the way to go. Sam was a bit of a Johnny heirloom apple tree in the neighborhood this spring. Thanks to him, I ended up with a Gravenstein and a Cor Panduplat, and they're growing beautifully. Thanks, Sam. The problem planting fruit trees, well, not the only problem, is that they take a few years to actually produce fruit. I mean, if I had planted these trees 5 years ago when we moved in, I'd be looking at a harvest in a couple of years max. I figure my daughter will possibly enjoy her first apple from one of our trees the year she graduates from high school. That's in 2016. At some point, I fantasized about having an orchard, about living on acres and growing all this fruit. When I took a field trip to an orchard I'd heard about in Monticello, Illinois, I'd envisioned acre upon acre of apple trees. You know, an orchard. When I got there, I discovered that Wolf Orchard had just a couple of acres in apples. But they were heirloom apples, 68 varieties of them, apples most of us have never even heard of, apples whose color and prolificness defied description. There were thousands of apples on these trees. Thousands. Once again, even though I automatically championed small for myself, I found myself thinking way too big where others were concerned. Ron and Hope Wolf, the orchard's proprietors for the last 22 years, are doing just fine, thank you.
I think Ron decided he would like to grow a few apple trees or a few fruit trees just as a hobby after he retired. And that was the business plan. And a few fruit trees grew into a lot of fruit trees and then more and more varieties. And it is just an interesting project and an interesting hobby.
Then we had a lot of fruit, and we didn't know what to do with all this fruit. First, we started selling out of our garage just by word of mouth, some people that we knew. And then we went getting bigger and bigger. We built the shed, and we just expanded, and it just grew.
The recent interest in getting food from local sources has given them about all the business they can handle, says Hope.
Well, you know, when we first began, we noticed that our population of customer was the older customers that had heard of these and had these type apples, these heirloom apples, when they were growing up or on their farms or in their backyards. So that was the beginning of the attraction. And then, by word of mouth mostly, it was the varieties that brought a lot of people in. And then the fact that they can taste of these apples and get a little bit of a history of each apple when they come to visit. And the kids are the ones that have the most fun. They will taste everything.
They've planted every tree themselves and have tasted every apple. Hope's a whiz at telling you which apples are best in a pie. You have to have a mix of sweet and tart to get the best flavor. And tasting these apples is a revelation. Where else in town is one able to eat a couple of apples worth of slices from apples named Northern Spy or Winter Banana or Smokehouse? I know, apples are apples, right? But they're not. These apples all look, smell, and taste different. They have seasons. What was ready in August is done by October, but another apple comes in to take its place. Basically, it was driven home that we're completely missing out if we only eat the 5 to 8 varieties of apple available in a traditional supermarket. And the more of those apples we eat, the less likely it is that the heirloom varieties will survive. It's partially why Ron and Hope have spent their retirement growing apples.
I was aware that a lot of these old varieties, some of them well over 200 years old, were going extinct. I decided I would do my thing and try to grow some of the older varieties and preserve them.
Do yourself a favor and grab an apple from someplace besides the grocery store. Make a pie or an apple cake with caramel sauce or, Hope's suggestion, fried apples. Revel in apple season. It only comes once a year.
Lisa Broth's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window. And you can also read her occasional blogs at majorprogression.wordpress.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Chocolate Covered Insect Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1773, the Peggy Stewart, a Maryland cargo vessel, arrives from London full of East India tea. The ship's captain, Richard Jackson, was duped. He was told the cargo was linen. 5 days later, an angry mob convinced the ship's owners to burn the vessel and tea, the event now known as the Annapolis Tea Party. In 1834, Henry Blair received a patent for a corn planter. 2 years later, he received a patent on a cotton seed planter. Kepler signed his documents with an X because he had not learned to read or write. For some time, he was regarded as the first African-American to receive a patent. That honor generally now goes to Thomas Jennings for his dry scouring cleaning process some 12 years earlier. In 1857, Elwood Haynes was born. An American inventor, he built one of the first successful gasoline-powered automobiles. But he is best known for his work with natural gas. He was among the first to devise a method to dehydrate natural gas prior to it being pumped through supply lines. And in 1900, W. Edwards Deming was born. An American statistician, he is known as the father of total quality management. His work contributed to Japan's economic recovery after World War II. And that's a look at today's agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Pete Levitt is out of the office. Mike Tenor of tstorm.net is with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mike, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Please do take a look at the agricultural weather forecast here in the Midwest. It's been really dry. Can you lay out some of the drought areas for me?
Yes, certainly can. We've had very dry conditions developing across a large area of the eastern Corn Belt. Champaign-Urbana is kind of on the western edge of where the dryness pocket has been unfolding, and it's really centered on Indiana. Rainfall deficits over the last 60 days exceed 4 inches across most of the state of Indiana, and that is fairly severe. And because of that, the entire state of Indiana is listed as abnormally dry by the High Plains Regional Climate Center. And interestingly enough, 57% of Indiana is now included in a drought, and that's a 9 percentage point increase from just a week ago. So we need rain across the eastern Corn Belt, especially with winter wheat going in the ground right now and also emerging and establishing for the upcoming winter. So this is a potential problem area, and unfortunately, there's no real big rain chances out there. We had a little bit of rain yesterday, but not nearly enough to end any of the dryness problems.
This is a drought that snuck in almost in the back door. Is that because we were in the month of August when it began, and that's typically just a dry month?
Well, in Indiana, it was the third driest August since 1895. So right off the bat, we went from a fairly wet pattern to the rain just shut off in August. Then we went into September, and September was not wet either. So if you combine August and September together, we're ranking among the top five driest since 1895. And the way the month of October has shaped up, you know, it's feasible. If we don't get one and one third of an inch of rain across the state by the end of the month, we'll end up in the top five driest since 1895 from August through October. So it just shows you how quickly things can change if it stops raining. And, you know, luckily for corn and soybean farmers, it's been helpful for harvesting. But we'll need rain, you know, over the next 3 to 6 months to avoid a problem next spring.
Check on some of the other wheat-growing regions around the nation, maybe in Europe and what they've been experiencing.
Yeah, Europe is an interesting case. I mean, they were real wet earlier in the summer, then they had the big drought in Ukraine and over into Russia. And now what's going on is it was real wet across Germany, Poland, stretching over even into parts of France a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago to be more accurate. And then it turned a little drier, but now it's turning real cold, and it's turning cold more quickly than usual. So it's hard to say exactly how that'll shape up, but ideally it'd be a little warmer and drier there right now. Argentina's doing good. A lot of rain lately for their wheat. But Western Australia is another drought area where there's big problems going on, it looks like, for them right now.
Okay. Thank you so much for filling in.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Mm-hmm. Mike Tenora is with TStorm.net. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.